The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where we continue after all these years, every single week, to bring you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today, we're kind of going to talk about how you could maybe start to grow your kids' business, whether that turns out to be real estate investing or not. Lots going on right now, so let me get that stuff out of the way. The Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati has its national online chapter meeting tomorrow evening. The topic is what I would do if I had to start all over again today. It is five incredibly successful investors who have gotten to where we all want to be in some strategy or another. We got one who's totally done it with long-term rentals, one in notes, one in adult residential living, adult, you know, like homes that you put multiple older people into. One who's done it through a combination of building and buying rentals, like you got kind of the whole spectrum there. And what they're going to talk about is if they lost everything and it was today. Well, okay, no, it was tomorrow. It was September 18th. How would they build it back up given the current market conditions and what's available to them and what they think are the best ways of making money today? So you can get a link to that at cincinnatirea.com. You just have to go to the calendar, pick out the meeting, click on it, and off you go. You'll get a link from Zoom. That one is open to the public, so you can come from wherever you are. Second thing is for all the folks who pledged for tickets to the National Real Estate Investing Summit a couple of weeks ago during the fund drive. Yes, we have heard your cries for what about the agenda? I need to be able to plan out what I'm going to be doing every day. And as of 10 minutes ago, thanks to Carl and Sarah, who have been working on this to make it readable and correct and pretty for weeks and weeks and weeks, it feels like, that agenda is now available at nationalreisummit.com. nationalreisummit.com. Just click on the agenda button and you will see what time things are happening, who's speaking about what, all the details. If you want to read everything about everything, you just click on read more each time and you are all set to go. So, yay! Third thing is, this evening, I am doing a free call that will make all of the real estate eors in the country super happy. All those folks who are online going, yeah, you might as well just not even invest in real estate because it's there's no good deals out there, and also it's just, you know, it's going to be a 2007 level crash coming. It's called Real Estate Investing is Dead. Now what? It's at 7:30 Eastern. It's online. It just occurred to me that I have absolutely no way of telling you how to sign up except to say go to my Facebook page. There aren't a whole bunch of Vina Jones Coxes on Facebook. And if you go to, whether you end up on my personal page or my business page, you will see the event. And then underneath it, there's a Zoom link. I cannot read a Zoom link out to all of y'all on the radio. That's going to take the rest of the show and be super boring. So not going to do that. Today, though, on Real Life Real Estate Investing, we're going to take a little bit of a trip down a generation and talk about kids in real estate. Like, that's so many of my colleagues over the years have said things to me like, I wish I could get my kids interested in this, or I don't know what's going to happen. I've spent my entire life building up my real estate portfolio so that my kids could have it when I die. But they've all pretty much told me that the second I drop dead, they're going to sell everything. And that's sort of depressing. And yeah, I mean, I've heard it a lot. And I've also heard all the complaints about, man, I wish I'd have known this stuff that I know about money and finance now, back when I was in high school or junior high school. But the schools just don't teach that. Complain, complain, complain. Don't do anything about it. Well, we're going to do something about it. My guest today is Brian Buckaloo, who is a business owner and a real estate entrepreneur. In fact, he is on the board of directors for the Real Estate Investors of Nashville. He's founded a few nonprofits and has an educational background in adolescent and family development and neuroscience. And he's made a little, I don't know, 10th career here. He's got so many other things going on, out of helping parents and educators develop life skills for kids, including financial life skills. He is joining us from his home in Nashville. Brian, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being here. What in the world, with all of this other stuff that you have going on, made you decide that you needed to take on another task of educating everybody else's kids about finance and money and capitalism and business and all of those things?
It's really just an offshoot, almost a byproduct of what I do anyhow, which is, you know, teaching parents, teaching educators, how do kids develop? How do we grow? What do we need? What causes us to become one thing or another? What is our emotional stability? All of that. And it kind of boiled down to, being in the real estate world and being around folks and realizing, we're not really what we need to be teaching our children. We're not really teaching our children. We're just hoping that, you know, the blocks that I'm building, they won't come in like a 3-year-old and just knock them down when I walk away. So I guess got passionate about teaching parents and investors how to teach their children how to be investors. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, so many of our friends in the real estate world are so passionate about what they do. And even if they're not like especially passionate about bricks and mortar, they're passionate about financial independence and not relying on somebody else telling you what your time is worth and, you know, freedom and all of that sort of stuff. So why, you know, given all of that and given that they want their kids to be smart about money, why do you think it's so hard for them to just teach it at home?
We talk about that a whole lot. And I think that they just sometimes don't know how to begin the process. And if a child doesn't look interested or whatnot, that they don't really know how to begin that process to get them interested. And they kind of really just buckle down and say, okay, my whole, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point? Well, the point is to pass down a whole bunch of money down to the next generation. I'm just going to pass this wealth down to my kids, and they'll be fine because I've left them all the money, and we will have generations upon generations of wealth based on what I've done. And it typically doesn't work out that way.
It doesn't even work out that way for, like, Rockefellers.
I mean, that's right.
Much less for those of us who are, you know, just mere real estate entrepreneurs. So
yeah, I live in Nashville, and the most famous one, obviously, was one of the wealthiest people on earth at his time was Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, they lost, you know, there's a, I think it was a 1987 study that people talk about a lot. You may have heard your financial planner or estate planner talk about this, that 70% of wealth that's passed down is lost by the second generation and 90% by the third generation. And that's what the Vanderbilts experienced. The Vanderbilts, you know, the Biltmore House is basically just a wonderful example of how to lose every bit of the wealth that you've had created, you know, for you and just blow it on some of the nicest stuff on earth, but nothing that produces any more wealth. So, yeah, happens all the time, way more than we want to think.
Yeah, and you know, the families that do manage to keep it in the family are largely doing it by structuring their assets and their estate planning, which is another thing we're actually talking about at the summit. Is, you know, do you need to actually maybe have a trust that the kids can't gut in the next generation, but will help you support them. But be that as it may, our topic today is dealing with the kids. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about how you might be able to get what you're trying to get through to your children and grandchildren without alienating them or driving yourself crazy. If you've got any questions, you can give us a call at 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658, or send an email to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Brian Buckaloo about getting kids legitimately interested, maybe not in running your real estate business after you're dead, but maybe in understanding how to cut out all of those years that most of us spent floundering around, not understanding credit versus debt and profit versus loss, and why, you know, having a better job might not be the answer. Maybe it's having a side hustle that you can turn into a full-time business sort of thing. Brian, by the way, is the guy teaching the Youth Academy at this year's National Real Estate Investing Summit. That is 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and it is made for 12 to 18-year-old kids. And you need to go to nationalreisummit.com and look it up, because it's not 2 days of Brian trying to stand in the front of a room and keep the attention of 12-year-olds, because he knows better than that. There's a lot of competitions and game playing and things like that going on, but it's good stuff and it's not very expensive. So again, that's nationalreisummit.com. Brian, let me say that I've experienced personally what was probably not a great way to get your kids interested in your business, and that was my father, who was in real estate when I was a kid, felt like the way he was going to teach myself and my brothers was through what I can only call a combination of bribery and extortion. You will go clean that empty apartment this weekend, or you will not get your allowance. Everybody in this family works because it's a family business, and you kids need to learn how to not be lazy. if you read, he was reading a lot of Dale Carnegie books because Rich Dad, Poor Dad wasn't out yet. If you will read, How to Win Friends and Influence People and write me a 1-page book report on it, I will give you $5. It was a lot of that sort of thing. And I gather that that is not what you would recommend to parents.
Well, no, I wouldn't recommend it necessarily that way. But you have to go back and look at yourself now and say, did it work or did it not work? There's survival, what do you call it when you have the, I can't remember what they call it. But anyway, you only take out what you see. Survivor bias. You have a survivor bias. You actually are making it very well. Maybe it's because of the things that he tried to do for you. I don't know.
Well, I think you need to look at the whole sample size, because there were three of us. And
yeah,
now
you want to make it
one.
You absolutely want to make it something that they do enjoy. You want to make it, you know, like you were saying about the Youth Academy. We're going to be doing games, challenges, hands-on. We're going to be crafting. We're going to be doing a lot of things that really bring it down to roost of what this looks like, what it means. The challenges are one of the ways the brain really picks up information and primarily in one of three ways, or all of three ways, relationship, experience, and challenge. And so if you have the relationship, you know, the generational continuity, it's a part of the culture of your family. You get support, you get mentoring, you get encouragement, family supper dialogue, education. That relationship is so important. The experience, getting hands-on, trial and error, practice, success and failure, those are things that teach you. But the biggest thing is novelty and reward. And so when you make it fun, there's a reward there. When you make it something they earn, that's really, really important. So, you know, you need that challenge. You need some kind of buy-in, ownership. There's got to be some consequences to what you're doing. But if you don't do that in the context of a relationship, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really work. So that's the way we teach it, is trying to have real hands-on, real-life experience. I'm talking about even for young kids, very young kids. Can have responsibilities. My 9-year-old reads out the tax receipts when we're entering things and, you know, puts things together, makes adds up things and figures out what we're doing and why. So getting your children involved really is important, but the involvement is, the experience of the involvement is where it really, it comes down to roost. So.
Mm-hmm. All this complaining about why don't the schools just teach this? I mean, they, you know, the schools are very big on like math and history and English lit and so on, but they don't so much as teach kids how to balance a checkbook. Why is that? Is it that nobody sees any value in it, or are they just too busy?
I think the biggest thing is that we cannot get away from the culture in which it was established, which is to create bots, very intelligent robots that are there to do the bidding of whoever owns the business. They don't want it's just not set up and designed to teach people to think on their own and go out and try and start and do what you can do. Matter of fact, about 70-ish%, depends on what study you look at, about 70%-ish of entrepreneurs are ADHD. Because ADHD don't fit into that schoolroom very well, and they're like, I got to do something. Let me do something on my own. I'm going to go figure out how to make money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the school's just not set up to teach it that way. It's secondary education, something I'm going to have to know 20 years from now or 15 years from now, and I don't really know what it means. But as long as I can sit still and raise my hand and be obedient, I should be successful. Earn the grade that they've told me I'm going to earn, I'll be successful. Not challenge this, fail this, go out on your own, try something new, think outside the box. You can't really teach that in a classroom.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to line one and talk to Lily from Cincinnati. Lily, welcome to Real Life Real Estate. Lily?
Hi,
Lily.
Hi. I'm really interested in real estate, and I would like to know, how should I start off as a kid? It seems pretty hard, honestly, from my perspective.
How old are you, Lily?
I'm 12 years old.
Oh, goodness gracious. You are awesome, amazing, and you're now my role model and the hero of everyone listening. So the best thing that you can do is try to get as much as you can involved in things that your mom and dad are doing, and see, challenge them and ask them questions. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And try to get your parents to let you do some investment with them, maybe $5 here or $10 there, something that you've earned that you can put towards something, and every time you earn a little bit, you can put it towards something else that you love to do. Or maybe Lily, if you were to earn enough money that you could invest in someone else going into the youth academy at the National Real Estate Summit. You know, that's the kind of thing that when you have hands-on experience that means something to you, something that you love doing, you want to learn a lot more. So there's a lot to learn. But the fact that you're doing something with your parents and want to learn, you're going to be incredible. You're going to be the queen of the country. I promise you.
Well, hang on a second, Lily. Let's be a little more specific with you, because you're at an age where you can't drive yet, but you can go on the internet and do things. And I assume you do that, and you know how to do that. So what kind of specific things, Brian, could she maybe do for either her parents, or if not her parents, some other real estate investor that would allow them to see their way clear to, like, involve her in deals?
So I would definitely start out with something in terms of recognition. Let's make it a game. So, Lily, I'm going to let you earn the right to have a part of this by, let's go riding for dollars. You can't drive for dollars, so we're going to go riding for dollars. We're going to ride around and look for houses that may look like something that we can knock on the door and see if somebody needs to sell or what's going on. If you ask your mom and your dad what the criteria, meaning the things that they look for during driving for dollars, you would be riding for dollars, and as you're going down the road headed to music lessons or whatever, you can be looking for those, and every time you find one that meets all the criteria they're looking for, you could earn some money for doing that. Then you get experienced in looking for what you need to look for in a situation where you're driving for dollars. So you could try something like that. What does that sound like to you?
That sounds pretty awesome.
There you go. And then the next thing is they can probably teach you how to look those properties up once you have the address. They can probably teach you how to look them up on the internet and find out who owns them, because then the next step is somebody's got to write a letter or call the person who owns it and see if maybe they want to sell it. So there's a lot of stuff as I'm thinking about what do I do in my real estate business every day, and I think about how much of that could I do if I was only 12. It's probably about half of it. I could do it if I was only 12, if I just knew what to do.
Right. Hands-on, practice, success and failure, that's the reward. You learn by doing it, so you get better and better by doing it, and you become skill begets skill. When you get good at something, you become even better at it by doing even more.
And, Lily, let me add one other thing. If you're any age between like 12 and 22, the other real estate investors that your mom and dad know are going to be pretty anxious to like participate in helping you out. Cause like, I don't have any kids myself. So when I hear a 12-year-old say, well, I want to do something, then my mind's going, how can I help her do something and help her understand more about real estate? So don't be afraid to ask people that aren't your parents for help, with your parents' permission, of course.
Yeah,
you can go around and ask your parents' friends in real estate and say, how much would you pay me for every lead that I give you on a driving for dollar?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're starting your own business of learning to look for those deals, and you're getting experience with other investors that will help you promote yourself even more.
Mm-hmm.
So you can expand this and scale this.
And someday when you're ready to buy your own investment property, all of those people that you worked with are going to be like, well, I could loan you the money because you already know them because you've already worked with them.
That's right. Lily, I'm proud of you. You're awesome.
And I hope you're coming to the Youth Academy.
I think I am.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for your call, Lily. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I don't know if any of you guys are going to want to call at this point, because I don't think you can possibly beat that. Like, how do you follow a 12-year-old picking up the phone and asking how they can get started in real estate? But if you'd like to try, 877-772-9658, or you can also send us an email at vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox. I'm talking today to Brian Buckaloo, who teaches kids like that middle school to high school age kid, those fundamental things that, so y'all remember all the things that you didn't know when you went into business for yourself, right? Like that you, even as an adult, you maybe didn't fully understand things like how to read a profit and loss statement and you know which things were cash flow and which things were expenses and whatnot. He's getting kids started in that sort of thinking process about how do I build wealth for myself and cash flow for myself. And if I want to go into business, what is that going to take? I can't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm in a business. What is that going to entail? We have a question here. Actually, let's go back to the phones. I see we've got another call. Let's talk to Annie on line one from Cincinnati. Annie, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hi, Zena. I'm actually Danny, but I really appreciate you taking my call.
I do not know why it says Danny on my screen. Hello, Danny.
Nice to talk to you guys. I do have a question. I have one child that is very interested in real estate. Frankly, I have to attempt to keep my knowledge ahead of theirs. I have another child who's a little bit younger. However, they've explicitly said, I don't want anything to do with real estate. How can I spark the same kind of passion from one into the other? And maybe not even real estate, but just into wanting to know more about business.
Well, again, the reward is the biggest thing to cause a young child to want to do something. And so if you're starting them in any kind of investment, the very first thing you're starting them with is learning to earn, seeing what a dollar does. If you'll allow me a real quick, side here, there's a video out there that a lot of people have seen where a father has $10,000 cash sitting on a table, and his son is sitting across from him, and they got the $10,000 and like three Oreos. And his son's maybe, I don't know, six, seven, eight, I don't know how old he is. And he says, you know, so which would you rather have? Would you rather have this $10,000 cash or these Oreos? And the kid starts eyeballing those Oreos. He's looking over there. He says, now remember, this is $10,000 cash or these Oreos. Which one would you rather have? And so the son reaches out and he pulls the Oreos and says, I'd rather have the Oreos. And we laugh about that and we think that's funny, but there's three things at play here. And this is what Danny's one of the things you're going to want to listen to is there's three things at play. Number one, he would prefer the Oreos because he has no idea how much that $10,000 is worth. He's never had to earn it. He doesn't know what the struggle, the trial, or whatever to earn that. So he doesn't have any idea what $10,000 is worth. He doesn't know what $10,000, that's the first thing. The second thing is he doesn't know what the $10,000 can buy because he's never had to go out there and see what the cost of items and services and those kind of things are. And the third thing, and this is kind of an overlap of those things, but he doesn't even have to worry about the $10,000 because he gets the Oreos for free. And unfortunately, we have given our kids too much of what they have in their life just for free. There's nothing that they have to do to earn it. There's nothing they have to do to see. So giving him opportunities, even if it's not real estate, giving him opportunities to earn things that he wants is a tremendous way to start saying how much is a dollar worth, and if the dollar's worth that, how can I increase the number of dollars I get or the ease in which I get them? And so starting him out to learn to earn is the very first thing that I would say. And if you can, make it a game. Anything that he can do, a challenge, he gets, you know, a dollar for doing this, $2 for doing that, or $3 if he does it in this time frame or to this level of experience. My daughter is 11, and she's been pressure washing stuff since she was, I don't know, three. And we keep the pressure down so she doesn't, you know, cut her toes off with the pressure washer.
Or just fly up in the air. That's what I was picturing.
Right. When I started with her, I, you know, did literally a 12 by 12 concrete square, and I said, you know, we'll give you a dollar if you take this, if you clean this up. Well, of course, they love seeing the satisfaction of watching this go by. Well, go away. Well, when she asked me about it, she says, can I get my dollar? And I said, absolutely not. Well, why not? Because you didn't do it perfectly. So what do you mean perfectly? Well, I don't want to see any of this dirt in here at all. You got to do it just right. So she goes back and does maybe the third time she gets her dollar. She learns that this is the value and the expectation, but I did it at a three-year-old or five-year-old level by only having a 12-inch square. Then it gets bigger, then it gets bigger, then it gets bigger, but she has fun. She loves to pressure wash. She wants to pressure wash everything. My son has his own firewood splitting business. He mows grass. He's 13. If you give them reward for doing the thing that they need to do, they love to do it. They love doing things that people are proud of them for, that they can make some money, any kind of reward. And relationship is one of the biggest rewards. I'm proud of you. I think that's awesome. You're amazing. Do it again. So I would start him out that way. And then later on as he gets older, he may see the benefit of real estate, or he may see the benefit of business. He may want to do that instead. But you're at least getting him to understand what a dollar is worth and learning to earn it.
That's amazing. I absolutely love that take on it. And I, if you don't mind, I will ask this follow-up question to it. You mentioned rewards and the things that they enjoy. One thing that absolutely, as a parent, drives me insane is the screens. But, of course, that's what they love. How do you feel about that being used as a reward in this sense?
So the interesting thing is that when we're looking at a screen, neurologically, when we're looking at a screen, our brains do not grow any new neurons. I mean, any new synaptic connections between the neurons. You're not really learning things new, developing the brain to learn. You're just simply entertaining. It's called amusement, not think. And so a screen is one of the worst ways to learn. In fact, it's very interesting that there is a private school in L.A. where most of the tech executives send their kids, and it is an absolutely tech, completely no digital technology at all in that school, because understanding pad and paper, pencil and book, those things have more developmental value than a screen time. And I know it's hard to get away from screen time and so forth like that, but it literally is one of the worst ways to learn. I'll give you another example real quick. Baby Beethoven, baby Bach things that we put out there, and the stimulation of all these scenes and the pictures and the colors were supposed to stimulate our kids' brains. We didn't know as much as we do now. Now, how many years later, those kids actually were behind after a few years of school than kids who did not do baby Beethoven. So screen time is actually pretty detrimental, and I would not use screen time as a reward. I would use something else as a reward.
Could she use money as a reward? Use money as a reward, and then he's got to pay money to have his screen time, and then he can decide whether it's worth money or not.
Yeah, purchase the things you want. That's how you learn what a dollar's worth.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you guys. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the rest of the show, and thanks for taking the time out to go ahead and teach some of us how to get them excited about it.
Thanks for the call.
Yep, appreciate the call. Danny, not Annie. All right. So we have a question that came in via email from Jermaine. He says, if you had to start over and you were 18, that's apparently how old Jermaine is, and you know what you know about this market, how would you go about your real estate endeavors when you had lots of time ahead of you?
My biggest thing is always going to be a hands-on, take ownership type of thing. If education, obviously education is going to be one of the first, you know, keys to learning what you need to know. But then the experience level, finding someone who's willing to work with you, to partner with you, to hold your hand, to mentor you, you to be apprentice to them. Not necessarily like Vina, you know, going and sweeping out the floors of the next, you know, flip that they're doing, but being involved in maybe a lending situation, seeing how people lend, maybe lending some of your own money with somebody else so you can learn what that looks like, finding a partner that'll help you flip a house or you help them flip a house. Getting your hands on and getting around people who do it is going to be the best way to develop your entrepreneurial and investment skills. Get hands on, find a mentor, find a relationship with somebody, or 10 or 12 or 50 people. And start doing the business with them, and I promise you, you will get so good you won't even realize how far you've come until you look back and go, wow, I have come so far.
And Jermaine, as much as people are going to want to help you because you're 18, but let me recommend that when Brian says get a mentor, don't look at that as a one-way relationship. Don't be like, how am I going to find somebody who spoon-feeds me everything and just lets me passively come along for the ride? You need to be looking for ways to help that person as well in any way that they need help that you can do. And you didn't say where you were from, but I would say that the best way to find a whole bunch of people who you can learn from and do things for and have things done for you is your local real estate investors association. And most of those groups have some kind of a free membership for kids your age, or a very discounted membership for kids your age. So I would say you need to find that wherever it is.
And let me do a little bit of life skilling here too, Jermaine. You're a young man. Be very careful about whom you are hanging around with and their mentality and their attitude. You become who you hang around with, in a sense. And at this point, when you're being inspired and influenced by that which is around you, be careful whom you put around you, and find those people who are looking to do something good in their life, something worthwhile, something that's going to increase the trajectory of their family, their history, their whatever. Don't be a victim. Don't be a lazy. Don't be any, and don't have any of those around you at this moment. Mm-hmm. Find those people who are going to push you and encourage you and challenge you and remind you that you can and will do it and go for it. Go conquer that world.
Yeah, and let me also add, Jermaine, because sometimes this is a hard, it's a hard transition to make from the influencer world to the human world, where mm-hmm. the most successful people often are not the ones who are bragging the loudest and are not the ones who are driving the best car and showing off their vacation pictures. So don't get stars in your eyes about the people that you meet that are like, yeah, I'm the number one whatever in the whole market, because they're actually probably not. A, they're probably not. And B, they're probably not the ones who can teach you the most.
That's right. If I were going up in a plane, I would not want somebody who just earned their pilot's license. I would want somebody who's been doing it for 30 years to watch and see what I do, get their 30 years of experience. Experience is a great teacher, but somebody else's experience should be your professor. Mm-hmm. So go find those people who are experienced in the world and get after it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your email, Jermaine. You listen to Real Life Real Estate Investing, talking today about getting kids into real estate. We probably have time to answer one more question at 877-772-9658 or at vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm, as always, your host, Vina Jones-Cox, talking today to Brian Buckaloo, who has a lot of like professional and educational background that led him up to the point of teaching children about money and stuff, and teaching adults how to get their children interested in business and finance and capitalism and so on. And Brian, we've kind of been focusing on the whole idea of so that my child can be financially independent if they don't want to end up owning my real estate. But there's more about this education than the money. There's like a confidence, there's like an understanding of the world, there's lots of reasons to not shield your kids from what you're doing.
Yeah, you definitely want them to see it, be experienced. So there is a newer study that talks about the culture of wealth, and grandparents who've had great grandparents who are wealthy typically have wealthier grandchildren, and those who are more in poverty would typically have great grandchildren who are in poverty. The reason being because what you see culturally, what you see habitually, gets passed down, and so you're wanting your kids to see you do things that overcome, that push past, that generate, that develop. I mean, what we're talking about, you know, we don't want to just hand money down. The whole point we're talking about is to establish wealth in the coming generations, which means you have to develop and cultivate generations who generate wealth. And that's far more than just the money. The money is just a tool. There's a whole lot more that goes into our life in that regard than just the money investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even if they reject everything you say, and they say, yeah, well, I'm going to spend my life being a ski bum, I don't think it's wasted from even a relationship perspective, like having a relationship with your kid, right? Like, why do parents act like their kids live in one world and they live in a completely different world?
Yeah, you need to be involved in everything that's going on as best you can be. The one thing that we don't realize, the myth, is that parents lose their influence. They don't. There's a lot of studies that show that. They don't lose their influence. There's a lot of other noise. There's a lot of other influences out there. And so where are you going to stand in the hierarchy of influence? That may change a little bit. But, you know, especially teenagers, they suddenly need to see the world and do things, and they're much more influenced by their teen culture than they were before. But it doesn't mean that you're less influential. So maintain that relationship, and as best you can, be involved in everything they do, and let them be involved in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Realistically, though, I remember hearing my dad say certain things about real estate, and I wasn't just overhearing. He was lecturing me. That's the raw fact of it. When I was 13 or 14 years old, he was lecturing me about how some creative finance thing worked, or why single family homes were better than apartments. And I'm serious. Like, I could repeat to you from way back then why single family homes are more tax efficient and a better investment than apartments. And, you know, I was a teenager. I roll my eyes and say, I'm never going to do what you do for a living. And then later on, you know, 10 years later, I'm sitting in a class with Pete Fortunato and he says exactly the same thing. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the most brilliant thing I ever heard in my life. So I think there is a little bit to sometimes the kids have to hear it from somebody else.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. You, if they hear the same thing that's been being said, we talk about it all the time. Everybody says it. If somebody else says the same thing that you've been saying, the kids are going to take it in. So that's why it's important that now the other influences, they're out there seeing the rest of the world. There are other people they're going to listen to. You need to find those people who are going to be saying the same thing that you're saying. It's a culture of wisdom and not just I'm going to force you to take on whatever I say. We need to make sure that we're exposing them to people that have our values, have our culture, and that are going to be promoting them just as much as I want to promote them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what Youth Academy is all about.
It is.
That's what Youth Academy is all about.
And you maybe don't know this, but the National Summit has been around since 1986, and it has had a Youth Academy of some nature since 1997. And I think it's probably the only, you know, when you go to real estate events, you usually don't see children there. you only see the grownups there. I think we're the only one who has, you know, come up with this and then consistently had it year after year. And it's been really interesting to watch, because it's been a long time now. It's been really interesting to watch the kids who came into that at 13 or 14 years old. And left going, oh gosh, you know, I didn't realize that I could actually be involved in business now. Like, this isn't for me when I graduate from college. This, I could start a little Etsy shop now, or I could go, if I have a driver's license, I could go driving for dollars. And
it's fun. Mm-hmm. We enjoy it. It's not a drudgery.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I try to talk about the vehicles. I don't naysay any of the vehicles, you know, but when you're talking to your financial planner or estate planner, whoever, you know, they know this 70% will lose their generation by the second generation, 90% by the third generation. They know that, but they don't sell. They don't talk about it. They try to adjust for it to where we're going to protect them from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they plan. And you don't need to do that. They're missing the best vehicle in which to pass down generational wealth. And that's the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Get your kids involved. Let them learn. They will generate more wealth with the brain that you've developed, giving them, passing down. The best thing you can pass down instead of the wealth is financial savvy, is wisdom, is experience. So, you know, pass that down to them, and I promise you will have a far better generational outlook than 99% of those that are out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Oh, I think this is from Lily. I just got an email. Yep, it says Lily, 12-year-old from Cincinnati, because I'm ever going to forget that phone call.
She's my new favorite.
She says, thanks for talking to me. I had another question. How can I start to build long-term wealth now with keeping what you said in mind? What do I do with the money? So another, you told her how to go earn money. Now she wants to know how she can take that money and maybe not spend it on video games.
So we always want to find, in our house, we kind of have one of these rules. We always want to spend our money first on something else that will produce money. That's what we call an asset. That's what we call an investment, where somewhere it will grow. And that's going to be a long-term conversation. If you're coming, and I can't wait to see you at Youth Academy, we'll talk about some of that and how do you start putting your money to work. But you want to put it first towards something. So if you want to buy a bike, put the amount of money that you would buy a bike or bicycle into some investment that will then earn that money for you. And then you'll have the bike, and it will keep earning, and it will keep earning. So we're going to learn how to put it into investments or business that will create more wealth from the wealth you put into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And since the co-sponsor of the summit is Equity Trust Company, an Equity Trust Company can tell you how to open IRAs, education savings accounts if you think you might want to go to college or maybe go to private school in high school. So they can give you some more guidance about specific things that you might be able to put money in when you only have a little bit of it. Because the idea is make the little bit into a lot. And then when you have a lot, it's real easy to find something to invest in. We also got a last minute question here from from Beth. And we got to answer this one fast. She says, I have a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 17-year-old. I haven't done anything that Brian has said. At what age should I start these kids, and is it too late for any of them?
It's not too late for any of them, and the 5-year-old's not too early. Anything, like I was talking about, anything that they can do to be responsible for one small project in your home, learning to earn is the first thing. Having character, building character, learning to overcome, that's the first thing you want to do. With the oldest one, and you're going to get some of this throughout the from the middle ones, but the oldest one, I think you said 17, get them involved in something that begins to show what wealth looks like. If you can come to the Youth Academy, come to the Youth Academy. But start seeing what those things are, exposing him to the realities of this is what wealth looks like, this is what poverty looks like, this is what generating wealth looks like, this is what spending and consuming wealth looks like. And just get the process started and see what things interest any of them and go that route with them and see, expose them, give them experience, some way figure out how to make it a game, get some hands-on experience with some kind of consequence to where it means something to them.
All right, Brian, we are out of time, but thank you very much. Appreciate you helping us. Appreciate all the calls and emails with questions today. And I look forward to seeing you at the Youth Academy at the National Real Estate Investing Summit. There's more information about that at nationalreisummit.com. Look forward to seeing listeners tomorrow night at the Cincinnati REIA meeting. What I would do today if I had to start from scratch with very experienced investors like Donna Bauer, Dwan Bent Twyford, Mark Hutton, and Todd Van Meter. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.